If you are a leader and you're not praying, you're not in the Bible, and you don't have community, I would seriously be questioning something about your leadership, but also about your walk with Jesus.
Welcome to This Is Us podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Hansen, and my wife and I have the honor of serving alongside an amazing team as lead pastors of Hillsong Church in Denmark and Malmö. This podcast is a collection of short episodes regarding life, leadership, and culture. If you haven't done so already, please click follow and subscribe. And as always, if you find this to be valuable, feel free to share it with others.
Hello and welcome to another episode of This Is Us podcast. My name is Josias and I'll just do a short introduction because today we'll be listening to a three-part series, but it's one session that our very own lead pastor, Thomas Hansen, spoke a few weeks back. So it is one session that he spoke, but we will be cutting it up into three sections that will be airing for the next, 3 weeks. This is a little bit challenging. This is not how he usually speaks on a Sunday, so he does cut a little bit deeper. But I think in order to grow, I think we all need to get challenged a little bit. So I really enjoyed this session, and I'm sure that you will as well. So stay tuned. Here comes Thomas.
When it comes to spirituality, you know, we've often talked about a church that we want to have an attractive spirituality. And attractive spirituality is not putting on a show. It's not about watering down things. Attractive spirituality, it's about having an authentic spirituality. Attractive spirituality means that you don't have to be weird to be spiritual. You don't have to be weird. Like, it doesn't have to be like crazy. I've seen crazy. I grew up in crazy. And we don't have to have crazy. Paul talks often about, especially when he talks to the church in Corinth, because the church in Corinth had gone crazy. Because it was crazy spirituality. It wasn't attractive spirituality. And he often talked about, you know, you got to build church in a way where people from the outside can walk in and understand what the heck is going on. And that's basically what it is. And we've often talked about that when it comes to spiritual, when it comes to anything church related, our responsibility as leaders is to put leadership around it and language around it. Explain why we do what we do. Explain what's happening. People are not scared of spirituality. People are scared of the unknown. That's it. You know, I had a friend recently who just became Christian, and he said to me, does this church do like the speaking in tongues thing? And I was like, yeah, we do. And he's like, what is that? And I just explained it. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, it's still weird. I get it. Like, I think it's weird and I believe in it. It's still weird. I'm not saying it's not weird, but it doesn't have to be scary. And so as mature Christians, we just should put leadership around it and then put language around it, okay? And so I just want to encourage us as leaders and as a church this year, 2022, let's fall in love or re-fall in love with the presence of God. The presence of God. You know, that when we come to church, that we come with a hunger for the presence of God. And I wonder, when was the last time you came to church with a hunger for the presence of God? Not just coming to church going, oh, I've got a checklist. I've got to do things. I hope this person didn't decline. I hope no one's sick. I hope whatever. But then when we stand there in the presence of God, that we're like, oh, this is what I came here for. This is what I came here for. Just to be drenched in the presence of God. That I bring the presence of God into the room. One of my favorite lines in the Bible, it gets me emotional every time I think about it. It's the little phrase in Song of Solomon where God says, or the picture of God says, come away with me. Come away with me. It's such a beautiful invitation. It has this picture of two lovers. And it says, come away with me. Come on, come away with me. I just want to show my love. We were saying at one of the Heart and Souls, this very Christian phrase of loving on someone. You know, in Christianity, in Christian circles, we always get, I just want to love on them. It's such a weird term. Hey, like, it's only in church that we use that expression. It just sounds so creepy. I just want to love on you. Like, it's like what a dog does. They love on you, you know, and they lick on you and they do all, they just love on you. And it's like, in Christian circles, we get it. It's like, oh, let's just love on them when they walk in. But basically, that's what it is. It's it's come away with Jesus because he actually just wants to love on you. He loves you. He desires to spend time with you. He desires to spend that moment with you. And I just pray for all of us that we are getting good at when our heart gets pulled. That do you ever have that sense of like just in the middle of a day where you just feel like, oh, I should go for a walk right now. I should just get away right. It's like sometimes God, he does these heart nudges. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like he does these heart nudges where it's like, and for me, the only way I can describe it is just God saying, come away with me. Just, can you take 5 minutes? Can we go for a walk together? You know, come away with me. I just want to talk to you. I just want to spend time with you. I just want to heal you. I just want to allow my presence to sink in. And, you know, it's one of the arguments I used for us to buy a dog, by the way. You know, I ran out of arguments to convince Kat because up until Aussie, she didn't have a heart when it came to pets. But I will say, this is a changed woman, ladies and gentlemen. This is a changed woman. Aussie has, you know, she thought he was a dog, but no, he was a seed. And something is growing on the inside of Kat. And it's not a baby. It's a heart for pets. I was reading this morning in Romans 7. For those of you that are part of my Bible study, you'll get this in a few days' time. But you know, the part in Romans 7 where Paul, if you're not part of my Bible study, you're more than welcome to be part of it, by the way. It's on WhatsApp. But you be warned, I send one every single day. I've had people join my Bible study and then get annoyed that I send one every day. I'm like, don't join. Like, what are you doing? It's like following someone and getting annoyed when they post. It's like, you're an idiot. You know, with love. No, actually, they are an idiot. If you follow someone and you get annoyed by what they put, don't follow them. If you join a Bible study, a daily Bible study, and you get annoyed, you get a message every single day. It's like, really? Yeah, sorry. You're going to get it straight today. I'm leaving on Wednesday. No, Paul, some theologians, they can't agree whether does Paul speak about himself or does he take an empathetic role and tries to describe what you and I go through. I think Paul was just being straight up honest. But, you know, in Romans 7, verse 15, Paul says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Like he's in this battle between his spirit and his flesh. And he says down in verse 18, he goes, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. And we all know, we know when we do bad stuff. We know before we do bad stuff that this is not good. And we still press that button. You know, husbands, we know, I'm about to say something. I know what it's going to create. I'm still going to say it. And we just horrible human beings. But listen to him. He says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And it's this whole, I've said it before, it's this whole, sometimes I don't want to be good, but I always want to. You know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes you're so far removed in your spirit in certain areas of life where you're like, I don't even want to read my Bible, but I want to. I want to pray. I want to go to church. I want to love serving. I want to give. I want to evangelize. I don't want to right now, but I want to. And that is what's so amazing about the presence of God. That's why when God says, come away with me, it's so important that we actually do that. Because Philippians 2, 12 and 13, it says God works it in us so we can work it out. He does. He works it in us to will and to do. To will, that's our desires. It's to want to. He works on that. And it's amazing. It's like when you eat right. You know, when you before you're going to diet, you don't want to eat right. Before you start saying, okay, I'm going to eat healthy, you don't want to eat healthy. You don't want kale. Like, who wants kale? Brussels sprouts. You know, like, you don't want that. But then you start eating right, and it's like, oh, I don't want to do anything else now. Because your taste buds change. It's the same with the presence of God. I don't want to read my Bible. But after 7 days of reading my Bible, man, I want to read my Bible. And sometimes you got to just do the things you don't want to do because you know it's the right thing to do. And I really want to just encourage us as team. We are enough people in this room that if we get this right, we change church. That's it. It's that simple. And I want to just, I'm going to put a little bit heavy on you. If you are a leader and you're not praying, you're not in the Bible, and you don't have community, I would seriously be questioning something about your leadership, but also about your walk with Jesus. Like, I'm not saying you're backslidden, but I am saying you're on your way, because how can that relationship survive? And that's not to condemn anyone, because Paul he goes through this list of I don't do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do I don't do. Oh, wretched man, who will save me from this body of death? But thanks be to God. And then the next verse, remember, no chapters, verses when he wrote it. Romans 8:1. But now, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this is not to condemn, but it is to convict. Okay? It's not to condemn, but it is convict. I didn't feel condemnation the day a friend of mine talked to me about my weight. I was 110, I think 112 kilos, pushing bacon and ice cream around on the plate, and he was eating salad, and he's like, are we going to talk about it? I was like, what? I go, look at you. It wasn't to condemn, it was to convict, and I felt convicted, and it is what it is. I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but I am trying to convict some people, and I want to ask yourself, your life, how's your prayer? How's your Bible reading? And how's your community? And it's very simple. Have you read your Bible this week? It's that simple. No, I know. There's a billion reasons why. And I'm not even going to go down the road of have you been on Netflix or HBO or any of that stuff or YouTube. I'm not going to be down that road. I'm just asking you, have you read your Bible? The last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Have you prayed? I'm not saying have you prayed for the food. I'm not saying, have you said God bless you to someone that sneezed? I'm not saying, have you prayed for a car park? Have you taken the time to pray? Have you had community? Which means an honest conversation with someone. That's it. Those three things.
Thank you for listening to This Is Us podcast. Whether you listen to them as an individual or as a team, we hope that they add value to you. Make sure to click follow or subscribe, so you don't miss any episodes. Thank you for joining us. We are who we are. This is us.